This morning, that you are exactly who you say, that you're good, God, that you're good. Father, I pray that this year, Lord, that we will understand your goodness, Lord, how you love us, how you redeem us, how you forgive us. I pray that you will give each one of us a revelation of your mercy and your grace. I pray that you will give each one of us a revelation of the purpose that you've placed us on this earth, Lord. I pray that you will continue to show each one of us that we are important in your kingdom, that we are here by design, that everything that is in our lives is on purpose, God, and it's meant to uplift you. It's meant to build you up. It's meant to encourage our brothers and sisters around us so that everybody can see your light, Lord, see your goodness, because you and you alone deserve all glory and praise. We pray these things. I pray that you'll be with me this morning and help me speak exactly what you would have me to say. We thank you for everything. In Jesus' name, amen. The scripture this morning is going to come an awesome story I'm sure everybody's extremely familiar with. 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17. Definitely the story of, I guess most people would say, David and Goliath. But I want to talk about a little bit this morning is what was happening before the confrontation. What was happening before David came out with these stones to kill Goliath, which is an absolute amazing story. Here recently, I even with Joshua the other day, YouTubed looking up how the slingshot worked back then. And there's some men nowadays that use these slingshots just to show us how powerful they were, even with a man that has armor on. And if you get a chance, you should YouTube it. And man, those slingshots are something else. It's absolutely amazing to see what I believe King David had and what he fought Goliath with. But at the beginning of the story in 1 Samuel chapter 17, we'll start at verse 17. Then Jesse said to his son David, "Take now for your brothers an ephah of this dried grain and these 10 loaves and run to your brothers at the camp," verse 18, and carry these 10 cheeses to the captain of their thousand and see how your brothers fare and bring back news of them. Now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah fighting with the Philistines, verse 20. So David rose early in the morning, left the sheep with a keeper, and took the things and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the camp as the army was going out to the fight and shouting for the battle. Verse 21, for Israel and the Philistines had drawn up in battle array, army against army. And David left his supplies in the hand of the supply keeper, ran to the army, and came and greeted his brothers. Verse 23, then as he talked with them, there was the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, coming up from the armies of the Philistines, and he spoke according to the same words. So David heard them, and all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were dreadfully afraid. So the men of Israel said, "Have you seen this man who has come up? Surely he has come up to defy Israel, and it shall be that the man who kills him, the king will enrich him with great riches, will give him his daughter, and give his father's house exemption from taxes in Israel." It'd be nice not to pay taxes. Can I get an amen? Verse 26, then David spoke to the men who stood by him, saying, "What shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" I know that's a lot of scripture, but how many of us in 2024 need to read a little bit more scripture, myself included? So the picture is they're going in battle. The Bible says that the armies of Israel on one side, the Goliath and his armies on the other side, and there's a valley in the middle. So Goliath, the Bible says, goes out for 40 days and he is challenging the armies of God. He's challenging the armies of Israel. David comes because he's delivering food to his brothers and to the leaders of the army to help sustain them. David comes and he sees this happen and immediately responds with, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine? Why is he defying the armies of the living God?" And the Bible goes on for the next few verses and says that David kept asking this question. His brother gets upset with him, Eliab, and says, listen, where are those few sheep in the wilderness that you're supposed to be keeping? You've just come down here to see a fight. You don't have pureness in your heart. And David is not deterred by his brother. David is not deterred by the confrontation that's brought to him. The Bible says that he goes on and he continues to ask people, what shall be done for the man who defeats Goliath? What shall be done for the man that saves Israel? What shall be done for the man that accepts his challenge and is victorious? And the Bible is extremely clear, and it says that these words got to Saul, and Saul calls up David. And he says, David, how are you speaking these words? How are you able to say this? You're but a youth. Goliath has been training since his youth. He's a man of war. Many, many years he's fought in war. He's huge. He's, I think the Bible says in the translation, roughly 7 foot tall. He's a huge man. How are you able to say the things that you're saying? And David's response to Saul is what I want to focus on this morning. In verse 34, but David said to Saul, your servant used to keep his father's sheep. And when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it arose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck and killed it. Verse 36, your servant has killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God. What David started out on a mission to just bring food to his brothers, to the people in the war, to the leaders, has now developed into him fighting one of the greatest fights in the Bible, I believe. But how did David get from just taking food to his brothers and to the leaders and to the army to now he's standing before a king? I believe, brothers and sisters, this morning, it is absolutely the same way that you and me are to bring about victories for the Lord. I believe it's how you and me can win our family to the Lord. I believe it's how we can win our children to the Lord. And it is simply believing something that God has shown us and not allowing anybody to deter us from our truth. You see, you can call me any name under the sun, and you can call me Jim, Brian, whatever it may be, but nothing you say will deter me from believing my name is Lamar Allen Byers. Why? Because I've been called that from my youth, because I know it to be true. I've seen my birth certificate. There's many, many reasons I identify as that. There's many, many reasons I know anything you say cannot deter me from that, because that's a truth in my life. It wasn't a great revelation that I had to study for 30 years to attain. It is a simple truth that from my birth until now, I've been called by that name. I prefer to be called Alan, and I'm sure a lot of you will call me Lamar after this, but that is my name, Lamar Allen Byers. That is a truth that I know to be true, and that nothing you say can move that. You can tell me my dad or my mom named me something 50 years ago or whatever it may be, but it doesn't deter me because I know that to be true. Brother David, King David, knew that he had experienced the attack of the enemy, the attack of a lion, many lions and many bears. It wasn't a one-time thing. He had experienced these attacks, and he knew that God was the one that brought him deliverance. He knew he couldn't fight a bear or fight a lion on his own strength. David wasn't dumb. David didn't believe, he wasn't puffed up. He didn't believe that he was so strong that he could literally take on a lion by himself. He knew there had to be an outside force. He knew that he couldn't take on a bear by himself. He tells the story, and a lot of people think, oh, well, David, he was a master slingshot man or whatever. Yes, he was. But he knew that something was helping him beside himself. David learned from a youth to not be embarrassed by what he was doing because God could bring about victory. You see, his brother, when he said, listen, where are those few sheep? He was trying to degrade. He was trying to beat down David, saying, listen, what you're doing is not as important as what I'm doing. How many of us have ever felt like we're not as important as somebody else in our family or somebody else in our life? We don't feel like we're not as important as the preacher or the worship leader or whomever it may be in our church or our work. We're not the boss or we're not the owner. So we don't feel like we hold an equal position or as important. But I want to tell you this morning that I promise you, if you will keep living the truth that God has given you, the truth that God has revealed to you, then there is greatness in your future. You see, Brother David, King David, didn't realize what was going to happen to him a few years later, that he would lead the children of the living God, that he would lead the children of Israel. All he knew at that moment, all he knew at that exact place in time was, listen, the enemies have attacked and something on the outside of me, something greater than me, has brought me victory. And if God can do it in that situation, then I promise you God can do it in this situation. Brothers and sisters, it's okay to me that I've seen God heal a migraine headache, so therefore I know that God can heal stage 4 cancer. You see, I've seen God take a drug addict and not allow her to ever smoke drugs again. You see, I've seen God deliver a drug addict before where he or she may never touch or use drugs again. Because I know that God can do the small things, God can therefore do the big things, because I finally understood that there are no small things and big things to God. God doesn't look at our lives and say, okay, for Brother Kevin, this is going to be a little easier because he's not as stubborn as Brother Alan. God doesn't look at our lives and say, okay, Alex is a little bit nicer than Brother or Sister Catherine over here, so I'm going to do this for her. It's a little easier for me. We serve a God that created it all. He is good and he is big and he controls everything. And the same God that brought David victory by the mouth of the lion, by the mouth of the bear, is exactly the same God that brought David victory when Goliath came to fight the children of Israel. But what happened? What brought David to this point? David kept living his truth. David kept doing the very simple things that were ahead of him. When Jesse, his dad, said, listen, take food to your brothers, do you think David thought his brothers were going to appreciate what he was doing? Absolutely not. I believe the older brothers had ridiculed him for many, many years. I believe they had talked down to him. Especially back then, you know, the birthright was to the oldest. So no doubt David felt less than. David had been given a position that was not the greatest, not the most glorious. He didn't get to go fight the battle. He got to go take care of the sheep. But hallelujah this morning, because David learned how to take care of the sheep, David could be brought victory in the battle. Brothers and sisters, if you hear nothing else I say today, I want to encourage you and let you know that it's okay if you're keeping the quote unquote sheep. It's okay if you're not doing the most glorious job or what you or me may think is the most important. I want to tell you and I want to prophesy to you this morning and let you know that you keep taking care of those sheep. You keep taking people food. You keep doing the small things, because God will bring about greatness in our lives if we keep taking care of the small things. If we'll keep learning, if we'll keep putting line upon line, precept upon precept, the Bible tells us that, man, greatness is already in us, but God wants to make sure that he can trust us. God wants to make sure that we can handle the victory when the victory comes. Have you ever watched any of those shows where somebody wins $100 million, whatever it may be, wins the lottery, and it is absolutely fascinating to me. I don't remember, maybe it's 70-something, 90-something percent of people that win the lottery within 5 years are completely broke again. Check it out. I can't remember the exact number, but it's an astounding number. These people that maybe didn't have a lot at the beginning had this amazing, amazing experience. Won $100 million. And in 5 years, they're absolutely broke. And I know most of us, oh, that would never be me. I would never allow that to happen. I would be smarter than that. Man, there's so many things in my life that I've said that about that I was not smarter than. I allowed to happen even though I knew better, but God is good. But these people lose all this money because they didn't know how to handle it appropriately. You see, I think a lot of people can possibly buy a $2 million house, but can they afford the insurance? Can they afford the taxes? Can they afford the land, the property taxes, the, you know, these different things that we don't think about because we just want the next greatest, biggest thing. You see, David's brothers didn't understand that victory was right there in front of them in the youngest of the young children. They didn't understand that God was about to make their youngest brother king of Israel because he was just out there keeping sheep. Don't allow people to look at you. Don't allow people to look at you and me as our importance in life, our importance in the kingdom of God by our vocation or by what we do for a living. That has absolutely nothing to do with it most of the time. You see, Brother David was out there keeping sheep and he didn't think it was beneath him. He wanted to be absolutely the best that he could possibly be at keeping sheep. And because he had that attitude, God allowed him to be king several years later. Brothers and sisters, I want to encourage you this morning to keep those sheep, to take care of the small things, to take the food to the people God tells you to take the food to. And yes, a lot of this is not literal, but sometimes it is. Sometimes it's simply buying somebody a meal. We don't understand how much people are hurting, how much people need a small ray of hope. We don't understand that you and me are maybe their breakthrough they're waiting for. You sharing a word or praying with somebody, I'm telling you this morning, it'll bring about victories in your life after victories. And before you know it, you'll have bigger and bigger victories. And then after that, God will take you to higher heights. I promise you, sometimes God will not move you and me in the current situation we're in until we learn to get victory where we're at. Because we know that the lions, the bears, the naysayers, people are attacking. People are thinking we'll never become. People are thinking we're not good enough and we don't deserve. And I absolutely love it when people tell me, you don't deserve that. I say, hallelujah, you're right. But God chose me for this position. I know I don't deserve anything in my life, but God redeemed me. God redeemed you. God has brought victory and victory and victory again in our lives. And yes, we mess up, but I want to encourage you that we've got to be like King David and keep on keeping on. We have to be willing to keep the sheep so that later on we can become a king. It's a simple thought this morning, but I promise you, when David was taking the food supplies to his brother, I don't think that he thought it was going to be a great experience. I don't, because every time his brothers interact with him, it's not the most positive situations. I believe David thought he was going to be ridiculed. I believe David thought that he wasn't going to be appreciated, or he didn't think he was going to be understood. How many of us this morning know that we're not understood sometimes? How many of us feel not appreciated in our marriages or our work situations or whatever it may be? But I want you to know that God appreciated you and me enough to send his only begotten son to die on the cross and on the third day rise again so that we could forever be in heaven with him. That is absolutely all the appreciation that I need today. If I can focus on what God has done for me, if I can focus on the victories God has brought in my life, no matter how big, medium, or large they or small they were, then I promise you that's what will encourage me. And brothers and sisters, God has brought victory to your life. God has brought blessings to your life. It's okay it doesn't look like mine or Susie's or Jim's or Brother Kevin's. It's absolutely okay. Maybe it's better, maybe it's not, but it's your victory. Never let the enemy take your victory away from you. I promise you, one of the people that I talk to or minister to that have lost hope, they've lost goals for their life, it's because the enemy has taken away their small victories. They feel like the large ones are too far away, and they forget that there's certain steps that need to be taken before they can have the big victories. I believe it's because God loves us enough to not destroy us. Because just like people win in the lottery, if we got it all at one time, we would destroy ourselves. We wouldn't give him the glory that he deserves. We wouldn't turn back and help the next person in line. And in this morning, if you hear absolutely nothing else, I want you to know, I want you to focus on the victories that you have in your life. In 2024, I want you to begin the year. I want to begin the year thinking about the time God allowed me to leave prison. It was many years ago, but it's still powerful. That's what I love about God. No matter if he brought you a victory yesterday, this morning, or 20 years ago, it still holds power in your life. It still holds weight in your life. God doesn't abide by the rules of time. God created it all. So the thing that he did for you 30 years ago can mean as much to you today as it did back then. That's the kind of God we serve. Take the small victories and allow God to take you to the next level. Let's pray. Father, Lord, I honor you this morning. God, I pray in the name of Jesus that you will not allow us to focus on the trials and tribulation, the cares of the world. God, we focus on the victories that you brought us. God, give us a spirit like David that we can take food to people that don't appreciate it, that we can go places that maybe people overlook us because we know that you and you alone are the one that's brought victory in our lives. God, this morning, we thank you. We thank you for every victory that you've brought and every victory that's on the way, Lord. We thank you that you love us enough to not give us everything at one time because we might destroy ourselves. But God, we will each victory turn back to you and say thank you. We will each victory turn back to you and say it was you and you alone that brought us from the lion and from the bears and from the trials and from the sicknesses. God, it's always about you. And this morning, we focus on you, God. I give you a New Year's resolution as a group, God. We resolve within ourselves to focus on you and the victories that you bring in 2024. Lord, I thank you for my brothers and sisters. I pray that you will continue to bless the businesses that they represent. I pray that you will continue to heal their families and to keep them all from sickness, God. Only you can do it, God. God, only you can save us. Only you can redeem and strengthen and encourage and let us know that we are more than conquerors in you. And God, I thank you that the same spirit that raised Lord Jesus from the grave is the same spirit that you've placed on the inside of each one of the believers in you. And God, I thank you for that victory. God, we truly have victory in you. And this morning, this day, we celebrate those things. By faith, we consider these things done. In Jesus' name, amen.